Welcome to the Sleep as a Skill podcast. My name is Molly McLaughlin, and I own a company that optimizes sleep through technology, accountability, and behavioral change. Each week, I'll be interviewing world-class experts ranging from doctors, innovators, and thought leaders to give actionable tips and strategies that you can implement to become a more skillful sleeper. Let's jump into your dose of practical sleep training. Welcome to the Sleep as a Skill podcast. My guest today is Dr. Neil Palvin, who I was connected with back in 2020 and did a few Clubhouse interactions with, whether on topic of sleep optimization, various kind of biohacks to bring in for your overall health and well-being. And he practices out of Manhattan. We have a lot of similar friends in common that are doing great work in this area of sort of up-leveling our health and well-being. And so I'm really excited to have him on today, particularly for his information around peptides and how that can be helpful for sleep optimization. But we don't just stop there. We go real deep in this one. We talk about all kinds of things, a bit of a potpourri. Talk about mold in your environment, what that can do for your sleep, you know, looking at different nootropics and various, you know, kind of cutting edge options. And he is really, really well versed in this area. So I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation. And a little bit of background on him: Dr. Neil Palvin's goal with all of his patients is to optimize their health in the first 60-minute visit that he has with them. He is board certified in family medicine, into anti-aging and regenerative medicine, osteopathic manipulation, functional medicine, craniosacral therapy, and medical acupuncture. He has helped top executives, Olympic athletes, top trainers, and celebrities optimize their health. Dr. Palvin has been featured in the New York Post, Nutritious Life, Fasting MD, and many other publications and podcasts. Dr. Palvin's practice is based in Manhattan. He also serves clients in multiple states, including Florida, California, Illinois, New Jersey, Connecticut, over telemedicine. And Dr. Palvin uses traditional and alternative treatments to help his patients. Patients see Dr. Palvin for his expertise in biohacking and health optimization. In addition, he specializes in helping his patients with hormone optimization, peptide therapy, nootropics, and natural options for pain relief. And I'm also, you know, just happy on a personal note, about to see Dr. Palvin speak at Biohacking Congress this weekend in Miami. And so if you're not, signed up to either attend that live or virtually, absolutely hop on that. There is a promo code. I believe it's HACK50. If you have any issues with that, you know, don't hesitate to reach out to me. But would love to, you know, hear feedback from all of you on what you learn out of the various speakers that will be there. And if you can't make this one, there's another one coming up in LA in March 2022. But certainly we'll be looking forward to seeing the latest and greatest gems from Dr. Neil Palvin there this weekend. But aside from that, we went in deep on this conversation on lots of different methods that you can utilize out of all of his expertise to bring into your sleep practice today. So without further ado, let's jump in. All right, you all, I'm so excited to announce our new sponsor, Soul CBD. When I was at my lowest point dealing with my insomnia, CBD was one of the key compounds that I leaned into to combat my crippling anxiety, calm my nervous system, and support my journey to entrain my circadian rhythm. But of all the brands out there, where can you go that you can have a strong trust in their quality? Well, Soul CBD is completely THC-free, organically farmed, gluten-free, and third-party tested for toxins. And bonus, the company is created by a brother and sister duo who have both made wellness their mission in life. And I'm good friends with Angie Lee, their co-founder, so I've seen her commitment to health and sleep behind the scenes, and she really walks her talk. Now, one of the things that is great about Soul is that they aim to help create rituals around your CBD use, and sleep and rituals are best friends. For instance, I love that Soul CBD supports a nighttime bath routine with their CBD bath bombs, which help to combat stress, soothe aching muscles with a mix of CBD essential oils and dead sea salts. Another ritual that we aim to cultivate in the realm of sleep optimization is circadian rhythm intermittent fasting, which is really all about eating your meals between sunrise and sunset. And Soul CBD has very popular gummies that can serve as a nighttime dessert or treat to look forward to without caving to ice cream. Nice alternative. My go-tos personally are their oils, capsules, topicals, and even CBD bath bombs. It's helpful for anyone who struggles with anxiety, pain, or sleep. Now, particularly when I'm traveling, I like to lean into as many things as possible to help with inflammation, and CBD does just that. Now, here's a really cool part. You get 15% off automatically and free shipping when you go to mysoul.com/sleep is a skill. I'm going to say that again. You get 15% off automatically. All you have to do is go to this link, which will be in the show notes, mysoulcbd.com/sleep is a skill. All right, let's get on to the show. And welcome to the Sleep is a Skill podcast. My guest today, Dr. Neil Paulvin. You've likely even seen him around if you're on following social media or Clubhouse and looking at different topics around biohacking and sleep. He is often providing fantastic information on many platforms in addition to his practice. So he's a busy guy. So I'm really happy that he was able to take the time to discuss more with us today from kind of a functional medicine approach and, you know, integrative health approach on how to really look at your sleep and make a difference outside of the box. He's very, very cutting edge. So he's going to really let us know the latest and the greatest today. So thank you so much, Neil, for taking the time to be here.
Thanks for having me, Molly. This is really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Amazing. So, you know, just want to jump right in and have you share a little bit about your background and how it is that you've come to focus so much on sleep. In addition to, we know there's a lot of things that you focus on, but I do know that you really, really value this topic of sleep and help promote this in your practice, help people with even following their sleep tracker information and, you know, really aiming to help support this. So how did that come to be and kind of your approach to sleep?
Sure. No, I mean, actually, I kind of got in backwards. What I mean by that is, like you said, I deal with a lot of executives and athletes who are trying to optimize performance and feel better. So we, like you said, we were getting into like the cool high stuff, be it anatropic or medication or the newest tech that's out there. And I kind of, unfortunately, they always prove wrong, assuming that, okay, they're getting good sleep and yada, yada, yada. And then I kind of work backwards. When I start looking at their wearable stuff, I'm like, wait, are you doing this? Are you having good sleep hygiene? What are you doing in the morning? And I'm like, wait a sec, this isn't working. And then I started kind of realized that they didn't have the core stuff going, and realizing that's maybe why they're not maximizing on a lot of the other higher stuff that they were using. So, and then I started becoming much more an expert on basic sleep hygiene. A lot of great books have come out recently, and now the studies are coming out. The study just came out a couple weeks ago. It's sleep and dementia. So it's like, it's kind of, the cool stuff is great, but we know more and more about that foundation, and now we know how to kind of use some simple sleep hacks that are free to kind of optimize patients' health. And patients, once they buy in, then you can kind of add things on more freely. And we now know how important sleep really is.
Yes, so well said. And because I know you can speak to the spectrum of, even from a pricing perspective, so you can speak to the free, you know, steps that you can take. You can speak to the kind of mid-tier. And then I know you also cater to, you know, high-performance athletes and people that are, you know, just ready to pay top dollar to make a difference with this area. So I was wondering if you could take us through those different tiers and some of the things that, you know, depending on, I'm sure, different patients that you're speaking with have certain places that they can begin on their sleep journey. So how you kind of approach that even from a pricing perspective.
Sure. That's a new question. Make me think. I like that. No, I mean, good, the basic things, and I know you covered them a lot. I mean, the basic things, I mean, everything from temperature to quiet room to dark, and starting them just even the one thing that's kind of simple that I've really done myself, which initially scared the dickens out of me, is nose breathing. I think you've done some stuff on it too. And mouth taping, maximizing nasal breathing. So that's something, again, is free or very inexpensive. I know people are doing everything from surgical tapes now. And literally in the last year, there must be 5, 10, you probably know better than me, how many new different brands of mouth taping there is. Again, very cheap, free, easy, and going out in the sun in the morning. Then you get to the next level, which is kind of the wearable section, which I know you've done a lot with, but I mean, again, all the new different, everything from your Oura Ring to Somnify to combine that with other, their workouts and so on. And that's like a mid price point. But I found with that, again, a lot of patients didn't know what to, they had all this data. They didn't know what it meant. They're like, what, how to fix it. I had this score, but HRV is this and so on. And then you get into the real high stuff where they're doing, I mean, phone sleep study, you're combining that with the every pound, every lab known to mankind. Then you're combining that with patients who will do some type of, combine that with the recovery, be it NAD, IVs, or hyperbaric chambers, or PMF, or NUCOM. I mean, it's, all this is a mix and match. I mean, we present the patients with what's out there, and then we kind of figure out what's going to work them. Are they somebody who's traveling 300 days a year? Are there somebody who has a who has the ability to do this stuff? And then you kind of go into, even again, the higher end peptides, which could run several hundred up to $1,000 a month, that work on everything from mitochondria to boosting your sleep. But that's there as well. The sleep IVs are helpful, but again, somewhat expensive. And then again, some of the tech can run, I mean, a hyperbaric chamber can run you $10,000-$15,000. I have patients who don't blink an eye on it, and then patients who look at me like I have three heads. So there's a great now in terms of sleep is that the millionaire Elon Musk could maximize his sleep, and the person who wants to do just three really quick, free, easy things can do it as well. You know, what I find is great is I ask patients up front, what are your goals? How much time do you have? And then again, are you looking to spend a fortune on this, or you just want to do something easy?
Yeah, I really appreciate you. Thank you for helping break that down even from the financial perspective. Part of the reason I was phrasing it in that way is that I have had a number of clients that when we mention, okay, taking that functional medicine approach, going down the path of really getting in deeper, testing, what have you, the concern or one of the barriers for people can be the concern of price. And so I appreciate all of that kind of sharing, because it helps have us approach this, that there are places that we can begin no matter what our, you know, budget looks like.
That's what I thought, one thing in there. Now you're kind of, in terms of the functional medicine approach, a lot of the labs that people get concerned about are not anywhere as expensive as they used to be. I mean, a lot of it can be done through traditional insurance. A lot of the labs now are doing where you can get it sent to your home and you can do urine or a little finger stick. So it's not even worried about getting a blood draw done. So the price point, which used to be sometimes over $1,000, $2,000, you can get home either covered through your regular medical insurance or a couple, maybe $200-$300. So it's a lot easier than it used to be. Everything's available from your home now.
That is amazing. Thank you for kind of clarifying that too, because I think there's some of that old information or old misnomers that is going to be something where you're mega investing. And because so many people are, or so many companies and businesses are looking to either provide at-home options, or certainly I love what you're speaking to about the ability for your insurance to cover some of these. So finding yourself a great functional medicine doctor that's working on some of these cutting-edge approach can ensure that it's something that's accessible for the masses. So that's amazing. And I know that some of those cutting-edge approaches that you have for sleep involve some of these things that can be confusing for people. So the peptides, the IVs, and I'm curious if you can help demystify some of those a bit for us.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, for people who don't know, peptides are small groups of amino acids, anywhere from 4 to several hundred. They can be done either through a nose spray or a cream or IV, as you mentioned, or as a self-injection, either once a week or multiple times a week. So that's what they are. In terms of sleep, there's a bunch that have function. I mean, there's two main ones that we use, I guess, three that work. Two work on what's called your hypothalamus and your pineal gland, which allow your hormones are produced from. And it helps to kind of get it back to baseline. One is called Apitalon and one is called Pinealon. I've had good success with patients who they're good and they're on their own. If you're dealing with somebody who has a kind of a poor circadian rhythm type issue, either lifestyle wise, there's somebody who goes to bed too in the morning, or they work late at night, or for whatever reason, or patients who I've had who come in like for 25 years, doc, I can't stay asleep more than 2 hours a night, and I wake up for 2 hours and they have that type of up and down type of sleep. That's where they really help, along with, actually I've been using NAD as well with that, and works really well to kind of get there combined with lifestyle changes to get that circadian rhythm back in order. they're not as great as quote unquote sleeping pills. I mean, they're not something that it, like that you can't fall asleep. It doesn't work that well for those type of patients by itself. Other ones that we use are something called DSIP, which isn't okay in terms of getting patients to sleep. And the other one that we use for sleep that works well is something called CJC, or ones that work on growth hormone, because growth hormone helps, is producing, and it does help with deep sleep. And one that I've found the best is something called CJC. It's not usually primarily just for sleep, but it's something that we can definitely use in addition to lifestyle changes, adjusting their abnormalities in lab work and things like that. So that's in terms of where the peptides go. In terms of IVs, IVs are doing one of three things in terms of sleep. Either A, there are certain things that we can do in terms of sleep. You can do things like glycine, magnesium, obviously are good orally for sleep. We'll give them as part of an IV. We find that does help patients sleep. NAD may help patients sleep. People may have heard of NAD from everything from oral to patches. And one of the benefits of getting an IV is getting your NAD regulated is that it works on what's called the clock gene, which if that clock gene is off, then you're going to have some circadian rhythm disorder. So that works really well. And then other things we're doing, again, if we can help regulate inflammation, obviously some people can't sleep because they have inflammation or gut issues. If that's addressed through an IV, that can be helped as well. There are people, I've done IV things like IV supplements, like IV curcumin helps with inflammation and sleep. There are people now doing IV melatonin, which I like it for other things. I don't like it for sleep. So it's my last go-to there because I find that it overshoots a lot of time. So I'm not an insane melatonin fan for sleep. So that's kind of the irony of this whole conversation.
Yes, I completely hear that. And then for frequency and dosage of those, when we're talking about peptides and IVs, is this something that people can think about as granted, I know we're talking super general terms, but when people think about this as something where they can get value even just from one-offs of some of these modalities, or is it that you're working that in on a regular basis in your health?
Best answer I can give to that is if it's something that's an acute situation, more due to stress or life circumstances, then you can do one or two off and you can usually help people get back in line. If you're dealing with the patient, like I mentioned before, somebody's been dealing with 10, 15 years, then you're in it for 3 to 6 months at least, if not longer. But usually at that point with the IVs and things that we're just talking about, it's not a lifelong thing. It's the big sledgehammer initially to kind of get things moving in the right way. Then we'll get them off that type of thing. And then we kind of work actually down the funnel in terms of smaller things, in terms of supplementation or tech, and then more lifestyle and hygiene. I don't love the sledgehammers for sleep because if you're artificially making somebody sleep, they're never going to regain their normal sleep patterns or their normal hygiene. I'm learning more and more. Again, I love the tech, love all the cool gadgets, but for sleep, it's kind of you need the basics.
Yeah, absolutely. And so a couple of things. So thank you for kind of walking us through understanding some of those because it can be confusing for a lot of people. So that was great. And then taking us back a little bit. So when people are coming to you and they're saying, for instance, we get just a lot of questions on wake-ups. And so someone comes to you and they're saying, listen, I have so many of these wake-ups throughout the course of the night. Just, help me. I just want to sleep through the night. What are some of the steps that you have people take from a, testing perspective, kind of helping to walk them through what could be going on there?
Sure. In terms of basic things, I mean, again, especially as patients get older, I mean, the things that we're looking at as first step is, again, we assume it's their sleep hygiene. You go through their whole, what their sleep protocol is, when they're going to bed, when they're waking up. On top of that, then you're looking in, again, it's lab work. A lot of this case is lab work. And we're looking to see optimally what their cortisol levels are. Because we know that, again, melatonin thing is that's initially what's going to be the issue. If you can't fall asleep initially, then it's more melatonin. Also, if women are estrogen deficient or progesterone deficient, then that's more earlier in the sleep cycle usually. I find that it's more cortisol or a norepinephrine issue if they're getting up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, 4 or 5 hours in. So we're looking at they're doing a 24-hour cortisol. We're looking at when women, especially as they get older, even younger women now, with what they're exposed to between makeups and other things. We're looking at their female hormones to make sure that they're optimal, especially progesterone. Because we're finding a lot of women are what are called estrogen dominant, which means they have low progesterone. And you can sometimes just do some really quick things in terms of lifestyle, what their toxins are exposed to, and their sleep kind of will re-equilibrate. That's kind of the starting point. Men, we're looking at the testosterone. Poor testosterone is going to affect their sleep. The other thing we're looking at are their insulin levels, because they're having high, if they're having these insulin spikes, we're looking at what they're telling us, if they happen to have a continuous glucose monitor, those high insulin spikes, especially closer they go to sleep, and then they're crashing, that's going to lead to problems sleeping, and that also affects melatonin usage. And it's a kind of a three-way street: melatonin, insulin, growth hormone, cortisol, and it's a big mess. So yeah, those are things that we're trying to look at. The last part would be gut health. Again, if they have any type of candidal overgrowth or bacterial growth like a SIBO, that in a lot of ways will affect their sleep patterns. So that's kind of a deeper dive in terms of what we're looking for from a functional medicine perspective for somebody who can't sleep. The one last thing I'll mention is, again, I do a lot of athletes, any type of concussions or headaches, head trauma will lead usually to some sleep disturbances, because it's going to disturb your pituitary, the hypothalamus, and all that. So I'll find they have low pregnenolone or low cortisol levels, because their whole cortisone or steroid production system is kind of shut down from the concussions or their head trauma. And then we got to work on resetting that. So that's kind of, that's where we're looking for patients with wake-ups besides lifestyle stuff.
We just had a TBI specialist who was leaning into transcranial photobiomodulation for an approach to help with that, and also made the argument that, you know, TBI can often be thought of that it might, like, you might say, oh, well, that's not me. So his argument was that even some of these times where, you know, little whiplash or different things that you might not even put in that category of traumatic brain injury, that you might still have some things that you're dealing with as it relates to, you know, sleep and other things. Have you found something similar? And do you lean into red light therapy for TBI?
I am a red light therapy junkie for TBI, that hyperbaric. There's a bunch of studies going on now. Are we allowed to drop product names? You prefer we don't?
Oh, I don't know. Sure. Yeah, that would be great.
I know Vylite, Lulim.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Lulim from Vylite has a bunch of, he's recruiting actively for patients with TBI and concussions with the red light studies. And the preliminary results are incredible. So I think that it's also great for sleep, because it also regulates, works on melatonin. So you're doing, no matter, you're getting from a couple of different ends. So I think red light, especially the helmets, or like in the Vylite, because it does work on certain areas of the brain. So you get a couple different areas of improvement there. Again, you combine that with certain peptides. And then I love hyperbaric, if some that they're, it's available to the patient. So it's a great combo to really help patients sleep. And you don't have to do injections or IVs or take pills up the wazoo. So it's great.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Well, thank you for walking us through that. And do you have protocol for people with, I love that you said you're red light therapy junkie. Do you have a protocol for people of how often they need to use that or lean into that, where it goes in their day or night, any approach there?
I have patients, it depends. If you're just doing a panel, I like patients doing it anywhere between 4 to 6 hours before bed, just because it may be depending on how, at least until you know how you react to it, because it does boost, can elevate nitric oxide levels, which is means that you're going to have some energies when people take, if they take arginine or citrulline before the workout, it's the same idea. So you may get a little hyper. It also will help with inflammation and increases blood flow in general. So I don't love them doing it right before they go to bed. If you're doing it like a panel or the flex beam, which is a wraparound, if you're doing specifically one of the sleep helmets like the Vylite, which that I recommend, which is intranasal and works more specifically on the brain, then I recommend people do it like 1 to 2 hours before, in conjunction with pretty much the same time they're stopping, looking at their gadgets and where they should be kind of winding their lives down and shutting their brain down. That's when I have them do it. And I find that it works well. And then also, if they need to take something as a supplement, it's kind of, they do the red light, they take whatever supplement they happen to be taking or every injection they're doing, and then they get into their sleep protocol. So it depends on which one they're using.
Got it. Okay. And curious, with all of, since you do lean into the wearables as well, and different pieces of tech, do you work with people on the HRV topic as it relates to their sleep?
Yes, I do. I have found it's a nice add-on. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is, I mean, I've talked to a lot of docs about it, and other people really experience with wearables. is that there's no perfect cookbook for HRV at this point. Yeah. I mean, if you get done on four different gadgets, you're going to get four different answers. Yes. And what I look at for, though, is if they're really, really low, then we know they're parasympathetic, needs a little kickstart, and we work on them with that. If their score is is really high multiple times consistently, then that's not the issue. We know to look at other things if they're still having sleep issues. So it's a great guide. I don't trace the day-to-day. I want to see some variability. If you're the same thing every day, then there's probably a problem with your wearable. I mean, but if most people are good seven out of 10 days a week, a 10 day period, then that's not really what I'm looking for. Everybody has stress in their life. Everybody may have had some alcohol. Some people may have not had a really bad workout or overworked or done too much of a workout. So it's a nice add-on to give me a bigger picture. I don't jump on as much as other people do at this point. I know there's people who just use HRV as their primary focus. I haven't found it's a great usable tool by itself.
Got it. Okay. And then I'm just on your website and I saw that you had some different, lots of great information here. And you also pointed to molds treatments and, you know, we'll have certain people come to us with concerns that mold is a source point for their sleep difficulties. What have you seen there? And what is kind of your approach for people that are dealing with that?
Wow. Okay. We're hitting everything here. Yeah, I love it.
This is like a potpourri. We're talking about all kinds of different topics today.
It's a potpourri. In terms of mold, yeah, mold. I mean, that's a whole lecture by itself. But in terms of, we know mold affects a lot of different factors. One people need to be aware of, mold is kind of what I kind of call the Venn diagram. One of the Venn diagram illnesses, if people don't remember them from high school or geometry, is that it usually overlaps. It'll overlap with SIBO. It'll overlap with Lyme disease. It'll overlap with patients who have quote-unquote fibromyalgia. So usually it's a package, but it's also probably one of the bigger elephants in the room for patients who have that kind of over-inflammatory illness or in terms of that issue. So what I find with patients who have mold is, because it affects a lot of the chemicals in the brain, it affects a hormone called VIP, affects something called alpha-MSH, alpha-melanocyte stimulating hormone, all which have correlations with growth hormone and cortisol and insulin sensitivity and also your immune system. There's a huge spiderweb overlap with mold. It also increases inflammation. So it's going to, and especially in the brain, we're finding more and more patients who have abnormal brain studies, be it a SPECT scan, be it what's called a neuroquant. So until we get rid of that mold, it can definitely affect sleep. It's also a big issue with gut health. We're finding patients who, their gut health doesn't improve as well, which again, I mentioned before, there is a link between gut health and sleep. So people need to be aware, if you've been exposed to any type of small leak in your apartment or home, or any type of flood, or did obviously was exposed to something that even smelled mildewy, then there is a chance that mold is affecting them. Mold can affect sleep. They could go get a very, I think it's free or like $10 now on the Shoemaker site, of VCS testing, which is a very preliminary test if your body hasn't been exposed to mold, before you go down the rabbit hole of getting your home tested and the lab tests, which are really expensive, unfortunately, still. They could be anywhere between like $5 to $1,000 at a pop. So that's definitely a way to start. And initial treatment is to get rid of the mold in the right way. And then also to use binders. I mean, there's a bunch out there now that I use. I mean, I use cholestyramine, which is actually a cholesterol medicine that usually is covered by insurance. I use zeolite or charcoal or all the above. And now there's a new product called Cellcor. So it's the binders and then addressing the hormone dysfunction that we see on their lab work. And then also so it's kind of like it's a two-lane road. You got to treat the problems that you're seeing in their lab work, but if they're complaining about sleep or energy or brain fog, like I explained to them, giving them a detour short-term to kind of help with their sleep. And that's where I would throw in things like magnesium threonate. I may give them melatonin if their melatonin levels are really low, but I go real low dose just to give them an add-on. And I'll give them the peptide like a pill on to help recycle their, kind of reset their brain chemistry. Again, I love a product called Spermidine, which works for just so many different factors out there now. I give that to them two or three pills at night. So it's with mold, you got to kind of treat the mold part, and then you got to kind of treat all the havoc that it's caused in terms of the hormone and all the other, and the sleep and the gut issue that it causes.
Wow. Yeah. That's really well said. And I love going in deeper with you because you always have such great information and tuned to some of the latest and greatest that's out there. And then just a bit more in our potpourri and just displaying all your great knowledge, fasting and, you know, kind of meal timing. So we'll talk a lot about meal timing for sleep and aiming often to have our meal timings a bit earlier than a lot of people do to help, you know, with the ability for sleep onset and minimizing those wake ups. Do you have kind of a protocol that you share for people on being mindful of their relationship to their food intake? And certainly, I know you touched on insulin and glucose earlier. Is there just kind of some basic, because we're kind of getting into just some of those basic approaches for people? Is that something that you go over routinely?
I do. I definitely tell patients optimally 4 to 5 hours, no food before you go to bed, especially carbs, because again, that's going to lead you to those huge insulin spikes, which is going to affect a lot of your sleep hormones. And A, you're going to gain weight from it, and B, it's going to affect your sleep. So that's number one. So I tell people they do need something. It should be either high protein content or high fat content. Sometimes their patients find that high fat content makes them feel full and also will satiate them enough to help them sleep. Because also, that's number one. Number two, then I also have the patients who are just, a lot of my patients are already in their fasting state anyway. At that point, they'll start their fast after dinner and they'll fast until midday or later in the day. So that also is going to help regulate their sleep hormones. So it's either when they're eating or they've already started not eating. In terms of that, in terms of sleep, obviously, again, I really want patients not eating 4 hours before they go to bed. I don't want them eating no matter what, like after like 9 o'clock at night, no matter when they go to bed, just because I find that, again, it goes back to the whole clock philosophy and the way you now refine that 24-hour circadian rhythm is that that's when your insulin levels are lower, your cortisol levels are not as efficient. So you're not going to burn as quickly, which is, again, is going to affect your sleep. And also I find that my patients who sleep till 3 o'clock in the morning, part of the reason they usually don't go to bed till late is because of the ones who are snacking at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. And it just totally messes with their bodies, like what the bleep is going on here. And I find if I take that out of their routine, they tend to A, get better sleep when they do go to sleep, and they'll actually, their cycle will regress back to somewhat of a normal. And then they're one of those rare nighttime chronotype people that do exist, or people who are just night owls. We know they exist and they function perfectly. There are about 5-10% of people out there who can do it, but a lot of them are kind of artificial people who are out, who just like either go out partying or they're out that their kids are sleeping and they get their work done till 2 a.m. So those are the ones I try to reel in, especially with the food.
Definitely. And how about, you know, from that approach where some of the suggestions will be to have something small before bed if you are suspecting that you have some of that glucose instability and to kind of help with that stability before bed. So, you know, the talk of almond butter or collagen protein, or, you know, some people say honey, some people say sweet potatoes. Do you lean into that approach? Even if it could be a kind of a band-aid approach to isolate if that's part of the problem for your wake-ups, or how do you approach that topic?
Everybody's individual. I mean, I understand the philosophy. I mean, yeah. In some cases, I like the high, again, like I said, if they're going to do something high fat, like the almond butter is fine with me. Honey, not a use. I would say almond butter, it's fine if it's not the right food. So almond butter is good. Honey, nah.
I agree.
Definitely not a sweet potato at 11 o'clock at night. I don't know where you're even getting a sweet potato at 11 o'clock at night, but that's pretty good living.
So what is that one?
I mean, if you want to have, I'm a MCT fat bomb person, or if you want to get almond butter, or of course, avocado. I don't know if you're going to be avocado at 11 o'clock at night either, but any of those high fat foods, that's fine. If you need it, but it can't just be a safety blanket. I think a lot of that's going to be fixed more by just, it's sometimes you just got to go cold turkey like you said, you you have to lean in at some point, because that's when you're going to get the benefits. And I find a lot of my patients that once they do that one night, either that they feel better in the morning, or they, all these people who go by the wearables now and their sleep score is like, wow, I had the best, my scores are the best ever. Then they're sold and they'll do whatever you tell them to.
Yeah.
So I find that I sometimes have to kind of give them a little tough love and say, twice a week, you'll do this the rest of the time. No, you got to kind of do it. If their problem, like with the sugar spikes, again, I'll either see that with a CGM, I'll text their metabolic flexibility with something, either by their sugars or with what's called lumen. which is a way, a good product to see how, what their metabolic flexibility is. I'll do a fasting. And so I take all that information, and then that's, again, it's more lifestyle changes than it is having some honey at 11 o'clock at night. I think that's kind of a band-aid I wouldn't do too often.
I completely agree. And I appreciate that, really getting to that root cause. So, okay. So I feel like, one, it's clear that this is not a just easy approach. You're displaying that there's so many things that we need to really be mindful of, really test for, and ensure that you're having someone in your corner, a partner that is really knows what to look for, and is going to go deeper and really explore all of these variables. So really incredible. And one of the things that we've started to do for people that are so knowledgeable in this space as it relates to sleep, people want to know what you're doing. So we have three questions that we ask every person now that's on the podcast as it relates to what is it looking like for you right now? The first question is, what is your nightly routine consist of? And I'm sure it's dynamic, and I'm sure you're testing different things, but what would we see right now?
Actually, this is the worst week, last worst 2 weeks to ask me, but I'll be honest about that. I am not aware. I have a BioStrap, which I'll look at. Like I said, I use it as a guide. I'm not beholden to my wearable. That's partly what I try to do more, again, our lifestyle changes. I am a big fan of taking a cold shower before I go to bed, or doing some breathing to calm down my sympathetic system, because I find that is giving me the most bang for the buck. I'm trying not to eat before I go to, like, really working on that. I won't have caffeine before 2 at night, like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. That's what I'm doing. I really like the room cold and dark now. I used to be a horrible TV, like either TV watcher or playing stuff on my phone, and that's gone away. And I noticed the A to B there. So it's been, for me, more lifestyle changes. I don't have a problem sleeping. I am a sleeping champ. But my only issue is that, I don't get enough of it sometimes, because I try to burn the candle at three ends if I'm even trying to resolve on my own. I'm realizing that if I'm telling my patients something, I need to really, really just kind of lean into it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I get that. And I hear you on the last couple of weeks. I was sharing before we started recording that we've been traveling in a bunch of different states in just the past week. And so I feel you, it can stack. So, and I love your approach to the behavioral change methods that can really make a difference versus, you know, because certainly that's one of the reasons I started this conversation with checking in on those different price points, because you know, we don't want for people to feel like they're out of this conversation because they're not, you know, at a place to invest all of this money for different sleep tech or, you know, the next level recovery elements. And yet you're really demonstrating that there's so much that can be done and really at no cost or low cost. So having said that, then the second question is, what would we see on your nightstand or even your proverbial nightstand? So even if it's like apps or ambiance or things that could be beneficial for people?
On my proverbial nightstand, it's, again, I have the BioShop, I have an Oura Ring in terms of the app stuff. Otherwise, I dabble with the mouth taping. I have bad allergies, so I don't use it as much now, but the mouth taping part. Otherwise, that's about basic stuff. I don't have, that's not a used piece. Like I said, I'm trying to think what else. That's kind of what I got.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. And that's kind of what we're leaning into. One of the things that we speak to is the kind of desert island approach, where we're looking to ultimately know ourselves to, you know, be dropped on a desert island and be able to get great sleep consistently with, you know, nothing but the clothes on our back. And, you know, so training so that we're not reliant on all these extra things, leaning into them. They can be helpful and can be eye-opening, but that we're not using them as a crutch. So totally hear that. And then the third one would be, what would be the biggest change to your sleep game or biggest sleep aha moment that you've had so far? And I hear you, it sounds like your sleep has consistently been working, but have you noticed anything that's really up-leveled it or that's made a real difference?
A couple things. The mouth taping, number one.
Yep.
Number two has been trying to go to bed same time every day, as well as getting up in the morning and getting that morning sun. Again, I keep bringing up spermidine. Spermidine has definitely helped my sleep. There's a couple of small studies, and probably the red light therapy. I do that. I found that helps my sleep.
Sure.
And then watching and watching the caffeine intake. So it's combination, and I've been doing more hyperbaric, I guess. I'm trying to think. I mean, so I mix a combination of the cool tech stuff is combined with the basic lifestyle changes and out there, which I think is the way that most people should be.
That's great. Well, so much fantastic information. Thanks for humoring me to hop around to all these different topics. And I really appreciate that. Just displays that this is not just a like open and closed issue. There's so many things to consider. So I'd love to hear from you how people can not only learn more about you, follow all the, you know, many different talks and, you know, clubhouse rooms and all the things that you're doing, but then also I know you have some stuff coming out around kind of telehealth options. So, you know, presumably no matter where people are that they could connect more with you. So share a bit more about what that looks like.
Sure. So, and if you want to find me, the simplest way is the website, drpaulvin.com. All the stuff's there. We're going to be doing a reboot. We're going to talk about a couple of new options that we're going to have coming out, which are going to be more comprehensive in approach in terms of the fact that it'll combine wearables with the supplements, with the lifestyle changes. It'll be more program-based. And we're also finding now that we're going to do a couple more group stuff where we find more people in anything. If you're more accountable if you have 2, 4, 6 people that are going through the same thing you do. And it's not just a doctor one-on-one. So I think that's what we're going to do. So you can check that out. That'll be coming out hopefully by the end of June. So check out the website. And then in addition, yeah, like you mentioned, really my two primary ones are my Dr. Paulvin Instagram. I'll do a lot of IG lives with people or do a lot of Q&As in my posts. And then also I have a room on Clubhouse a lot. I'll do once or twice a week. We talk about lifestyle. One time we'll try to do some lifestyle basic things. Then we'll have one more advanced biohacking room. And I'm on there a lot. Not as addicted as I used to be because it was messing with my sleep, honestly. But because you'd be on that thing all night. I know you were on it a lot too at some point. Yeah. So I have a room, Biohacking Longevity Club on Clubhouse, but I hop in other people's rooms. And I think it's a great place to get really cool free information from anybody on any topic you want, from Bitcoin to biohacking. So
absolutely. Wow. So great. Well, I so appreciate you taking the time and sharing your knowledge and always keeping us up to date on the latest and greatest. Means a lot. And I know you've been helping so many people in the area of all of their health, and yet particularly in this area of sleep as well. So thank you so much again.
No, thanks for having me, Molly. It's always fun talking with you.
Oh, thank you. You too.
You've been listening to the Sleep is a Skill podcast, the number one podcast for people who want to take their sleep skills to the next level. Every Monday, I send out something that I call Molly's Monday Obsessions, containing everything that I'm obsessing over in the world of sleep. Head on over to sleepisaskill.com to sign up.